much for joining us. And don't look now, but we're about a week away from the NFL draft. A lot of rumors, a lot of reports, a lot of visits for these players. Yeah. And we've talked about it week after week. The biggest story in this year's draft is all of these quarterbacks that could be taken in the first round. Where are you kind of sitting right now with these quarterbacks?
I like the crew. I like these guys. You know, talking to Johnny before we went live, you know, there's six predominant names that, you know, you're going to see in the first and second rounds next week. So I like the upside for most of them. And as we know, it's no matter how much we love these guys at this point, we've seen through the history and the way things go, it's a very strong likelihood that, just say if you take those six of McCarthy and Penix and Nix and May and Daniels and Williams, maybe two of those guys are going to be really good. Maybe one of them is going to be really stand above Hall of Fame-ish, and you just hope they're not on a bust level. And at this point, you can only, you know, you look at their college work, you look what all these teams have done, we've all done our own research, and you just, you know, now it's just you hope. You've done the work, and now you just kind of hope. I think the Marines have a saying that product is the work, excellence is the product of design, and I think teams want to do that as well, but it's just a little trickier with such the unknown of trying to, you know, nail a prospect, especially at such an important position.
Well, a lot different for the NBA, just two rounds. But you get some NBA people that say, you know, I wish we weren't at the top of the draft for a lot of reasons. You don't want the year you probably just had that earns it. And then so much can go so wrong. And we know the two spot in NBA drafts has been fraught with peril a lot of times. In the NFL, except for the fact that you probably had a really crummy year last year, do you think teams relish being at the top of the draft and having this much pressure? Because this defines your career.
I think it all depends on the draft and the certain prospects are there. You want to say there's guys that are can't misses, but you still can miss. There's still certain guys where, you know, you're going to take them, they are going to pan out. I mean, there's a high number of, you know, success the higher you are. If you're a quarterback needy team, you're up top now, you love it. Maybe if you're non-quarterback needy team, we don't see that in this particular draft. But at the end of the day, I think teams like it. I mean, there's a reason why teams jockey and they give up so much draft capital to move up to these high selections. I think we get built up in the excitement. Teams, as hard as you kind of probably want to eliminate the maturity or the fun out of it, there's still, you got to, you know, there's a room out there in the NFL, a draft room, where one team is going to fall in love with an individual. They love his workouts. They love this character. They love his tape. They love all those intangibles. And they kind of get carried away. You kind of get swept off your feet. Now, listen, it doesn't mean that they're just going to throw everything to the wayside. But nonetheless, they are going to get carried away with a certain individual. You've probably talked. I know I've talked to coaches. I even know Tomlin during our private things during training camp. He'll mention certain guys in the past that are guys that he really liked that, you know, may not play for the Steelers. But he just knew, like, you know, he liked what they brought to the table. So I think that's with all teams where you find a guy that you really like, you're going to end up, you know, handing the card with their name written down and just cross your fingers that they become a predominant, you know, contributor to your team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know we've talked about this guy the last couple of weeks, but you continue to hear his name as a guy that could be taken in the top five, certainly in the top 10, but J.J. McCarthy, I am just still not sold on him, the idea of him being a top 10 pick with the quarterbacks that are around him. What do you think? You know, we see the reports that he's meeting with all of these teams and that teams are very high on him, but where do you stand on J.J. McCarthy with about a week before the draft?
Yeah, I'm not sold on it. I talked to an insider right before we went live. He's also part of the program, and he called him a Christian Ponder, and I love that comparison, Johnny. Johnny with the Christian Ponder comparison. I don't know. As I told Johnny before we went live, you know, granted, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, the best in the league, but
sure.
You know, when Patrick Mahomes, when the Chiefs are on their back, their face is on the mat, he lifts that team up and he drives them, and you're going to say, well, they won the national championship. I don't really think they won the national championship because of McCarthy. It's kind of like the Ravens winning because of Trent Dilfer. Was Trent Dilfer a good quarterback? He was, but the next season they went to Elvis Gerback because they just didn't feel comfortable in him. So I look at McCarthy as that guy. I just don't see it. I haven't seen him in a game, a big game, where it was him that won the game. It was him that just dominated. I'm probably firing up and alienating a lot of Michigan fans. Are probably screaming in their cars right now. But I for me, he's the one guy out of the quarterbacks that I'm very hesitant on to think that, you know, when you're talking top five, I mean top five. If Penix and Nix are borderline first round talent, absent of a national championship, that I really don't think was cohesive to just McCarthy. Nobody can argue that me, at least with me feeling that you're going to change my mind. I could be stubborn, but that's the way I look at it. I just don't. And you know, he could be in. And on the flip side, we could be talking a year from now. It's week six of the season. He's starting, and we're going to say, "Wow, this kid looks phenomenal." Whatever team selected him look like geniuses. So yeah. You know, we could go back to the Brock Purdy's and the Tony Romo's and guys that are kind of under the radar that really succeed. So I don't buy into it, and to think that a team would move up that high, especially with some of the names that I mentioned in Nix and Penix that should be in that same, you know, draft range, I just find it a little bit of a stretch to, if a team that would decide to move up as high as 4, 5, or 3 to do that, I would be shocked.
Bo, we know next week we'll be about 48 hours from the draft, and then the following week we will have the draft that we'll be discussing and where everybody went, and that's when we always pick our first round player we know that will someday go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, when we always make that pick. I don't need 2 weeks. I can tell you mine right now,
okay.
Especially in this age of the rules and how we're just creating one after another conveyor belt, from starting with Tony Gonzalez to Gronk to Gates to all the different tight ends to now with Kittle and Kelsey. Mine's going to be Brock Bowers. He plays 12, 13 years and racks up phenomenal numbers as tight end.
Wow, I like it. I'd probably go with Harrison. But, you know, Brett, when you mention that, usually there's always a few guys that I really feel, you know, it doesn't mean I'm right. I mean, you know, I thought Chance Womack was going to be a Hall of Fame type guy, and he was nothing close to that stature. Yeah. So, but this particular class, I'm not enamored with anybody where, wow, I think this is guy, and there will be. It's just when I look at him, there's nobody that pops for me. I mean, I have to say Harrison, he seems like the safest guy. I mean, he has the pedigree, he has the DNA, he showed it at a high level at one of the best programs in college football. So, you know, it's hard to knock, you know, that. And the position he plays, these receivers seem to come in very, you know, astute at getting up to speed. You know, years ago, you know, it maybe took a season or two for these guys to adapt. But, you know, these guys come in fresh from college football and they arrive as rookies and the National Football League, and they kind of dominate. So I'd have to go with Harrison. I hate going with the skill guy. You know, I like to maybe, you know, find a lineman or a D tackle or maybe a defensive back. It seems like
which
more,
one of us had James Blackman a few years ago?
Yeah, I would have to go with Harrison. Yeah, you know, and he, you know, when you think of him, you know, he was poised for it. Those off field issues, though, I mean, but he was putting it together. The talent was there. Just kind of, you know, the kid got derailed a little bit, and you know we see that happens. It's unfortunate, but it's, you know, he won't be the first guy that has immense talent that kind of loses sight of it, and you know he won't be the last.
Is there anybody that you have in the first round or maybe the top 15 that you kind of look at other mock drafts, you look at what other people are saying, and maybe you're a little higher or maybe a little lower on somebody that everyone else has differently than you?
I think the two guys, Nate Wiggins, the Oregon DB, and then Brian Murphy, the Texas D lineman, those two guys I've had a lot higher for most of the draft season. When I glance around, it seems like they're a little bit lower than others. But when you start doing a mock draft, and you know, if you ever really put a mock draft together, it's going to take you some time. And if you want to try to act like you know what you're doing, it's a frustrating task. And especially when you get to 13, and then you realize you missed J.C. Latham, and then you're like, oh, now what?
Yikes.
And you got to go back. But I think those are the two guys that stand out to me that I've had a little bit higher, and it seems like those guys, you know, like Nate Wiggins is a guy that you can see as low as, you know, 32. Mm-hmm. Brian Murphy has caught a little bit of fire. I think he's risen since, you know, you're talking early January through the combine stages. I think he's rose a little bit. But, you know, I think those are the two guys I think I've had a lot higher than others.
We didn't ask for the whole first round for today. We just asked for you gave your top 10 players last week. Now we want them designated to a team with no trades, just as the draft order exists today. So roll with it, Bo.
All right, I'm going to go the Bears with Williams. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at 2. Drake May, 3 to the Patriots. I'm going to go with a little change of pace. And this is me being a stubborn old person where I want the on-field work to matter. So I'm going to go Malik Nabers just because he worked out and he did his thing. So I'm going to put Nabers as a spite move just to satisfy myself and a message to all those other college guys that you got to show up a little bit. We know you're great in college, but just give these teams a little bit of something. So I'm going to go Nabers 4. I'm going to go Joe Alt, the O-lineman, 5 to the Chargers. I'm going to go Jared Verse, or I'm going to go Harrison to the Giants. I'm going to go Verse to the Titans at 7. I'm going to go Dallas Turner to the Falcons at 8. I'm going to go, now 9 and 10, I kind of got 3 offensive tackles here. I got Felice, and then I got Latham, and I think you can kind of flip-flop those. I would like to see Latham go to the Jets at 10. Mekhi Becton, the 2020 first-rounder, was 11th in 2020. He's a bust. He's no longer with the team. But when you look at size and intangibles, Latham is that big guy. He's like 360. So was Becton. So I look at the Jets kind of replacing him. So when I do that, Fashani, the Bears at 9, the Oregon State kid. So those would be the top 10. The Washington kid, Oduze, I don't have him going. He seems like a guy that you see at the Bears at 9 every mock draft that you would look at. But I kind of see him falling out of that top 10. I just think linemen, they still serve such a critical purpose. It's easier to find a guy that's 6'1", 200 pounds, that runs fast, than it is to find a guy that's adequate in the NFL at 6'6", 330 that can play against the best. And I think that's why these linemen, they'll kind of prove their worth on draft day, and we'll see at least 3 in the top 10.
So you mentioned Joe Alt to the Chargers. I know a lot of people have him going to the Titans at 7. How much do you think offensive linemen is a need for the Titans when you look at new quarterback, you know, kind of young quarterback, young weapons? How much do you think offensive line should be a target for them in this draft?
I think it's a total target. I think now if this would go, and I'm really going off the limb here, putting Harrison at 7. I mean, that would be, it's not going to happen, but we're going to have a little fun. I think for the Titans at 7, it's kind of like an Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. You really weren't planning on taking the guy, but he was supposed to be the second pick of the draft, and somehow now he's sitting down in the 20s.
Right.
I think that would be the scenario for any team, even the Giants, the Titans. You know, if a guy like that would slip, if a guy like Nabers would slip there, you just kind of throw need and just go, wow, like this guy's the highest guy rated on our board. You got to go that route. So I think that's how teams would perceive it, unless they have a lineman higher than those guys. But I think if a Harrison or a Nabers would slip into that 6-7 range, I think those teams bite on them. I just think they're probably pegged in that draft board internally. I think those guys would go higher than some of the linemen that I've mentioned in the later part of the top 5 or the bottom, what, top 10.
How risky is Drake May?
He's risky. They're all risky, though, Brett. I mean, he is. You know, he's a guy with the most criticism, and you can love him or dislike him. I saw him play and he impressed me. And that, for me, that goes a long way because I've seen a lot of guys. Another North Carolina, Eric Ebron, the tight end. And, you know, people loved him. And it doesn't mean because you watch one game live and they don't play great or they don't stand out, it doesn't mean that they're not a good draft prospect. But you do like walking away with the impression like, wow, that guy knocked my socks off. Well, that was fantastic. And, you know, when I watched Drake May, he was phenomenal. But I've seen other guys play phenomenal too, Mason Rudolph, I've seen him when him and James Washington were at Oklahoma State, or you know, and those guys looked dominant. And they
really I love James out. Washington.
Oh, I did too. How couldn't you? You know, they were just. It's some guys you just look at and you're like, they can't miss, but they miss. May is a guy that I think you develop, and I hate using these cliche things because you know that was kind of the knock on Herbert that he wouldn't be the guy immediately. And you know, Tyrod Taylor gets a punctured lung before the game during a COVID season where you're really not even working out with the team. and Justin Herbert steps in and becomes a superstar. So, you know, these guys, we're going to know off the bat if they have it. It doesn't take long. C.J. Stroud, you know, he's the perfect latest answer to if you got it, you got it, and if you don't, you might never have it, or it's going to take a long time. So we'll know early on with all these guys. We're going to know in training camp. But listen, if these guys are delivering what these teams think they can do early on and there's not many options on the roster, and you look at the top teams picking in Chicago, New England, and Washington, there's not a lot of talent there where if any one of those teams took a rookie quarterback, and if these rookie quarterbacks go in the camp and they really start lighting it up, the teams aren't going to go to them. I mean, there's a reason why Bryce Young, there's a reason why, you know, C.J. Stroud got those opportunities. One, there really wasn't there, and they earned it. So I like May, but, you know, he's going to be questionable, Mark. You know, he's a good character guy in terms of I think he can walk into a locker room. I think teammates are going to embrace his personality. He's got a fun-loving, charismatic attitude. I think you're drawn to that, and that's a leadership quality. And it's the matter of him playing, smart football in critical moments, not turning the ball over. But, you know, I could say that about every quarterback that's ever played is, you know, you got to be smart in good moments and don't turn the ball over. So it's a hard guess. I like May. I like Jaden Daniels' upside more than all of them. Caleb Williams, I don't dislike Caleb Williams. I just don't see how he's in another stratosphere of some of these other guys. I still think he's better, but I don't see him as this generational talent that, you know, has come through USC and just, you know, he's going to arrive at the doors in Chicago and chase the franchise instantly.
I mean, do we really think he's that much better coming out of college than Matt Leinart was? And we know Matt Leinart was a royal bust.
Yeah, Sanchez, Leinart. I mean, Carson Palmer, you know, he was a first pick, and he played well. I mean, he was a good quarterback, fantastic quarterback. But he was never, you know, Cincinnati, you know, that goes to, probably I could get off, you know, topic here in terms of, you know, where they go and, you know, how teams can develop guys. But, you know, Palmer lived up to it, but he still wasn't the best. And, you know, I don't know if there was ever a season where he was playing where you're like, wow, Carson Palmer is the best quarterback in the league. He's up there, but he wasn't the cream of the crop. He wasn't Dan Marino. He wasn't Mahomes. He wasn't, you know, Peyton Manning. He was Carson Palmer, and that's a Jim Everett, and that's just a guy who's really good, like a Matt Ryan. He's a really good quarterback, but when, you know, he's not a Tom Brady. So, but I like the guys. I like this quarterback class. I think they all offer something a little bit different in who they are, their college careers. You know, a lot of them went to different places before they found success. So I think that makes it intriguing in terms of where we are collegiately, where we don't see guys with the same schools, and, you know, we found guys that were so early on and made some transfers. And
that's Bo Nix you're talking about.
Bo Nix, Daniels. I mean, these guys. Williams had success at Oklahoma, so it wasn't like he was, But these guys, it's a different game. But you could see it. I like Penix. I do like Penix. I like Nix. I mentioned Spencer Rattler last week. I do like the quarterback class. And as I mentioned, last year I thought was the worst season I've ever watched at the quarterback position. So you talk about a league that's needy of some young arms to really kind of replenish what we've lost when we looked at all the Mannings and the Bradys and the Matt Ryans and the Phillip Rivers and, you know, all the names. I'm probably forgetting a ton that we were really spoiled. Drew Brees, watching these guys play at probably the highest level of a generation of quarterbacks that we've seen in the league, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Getting away from the draft a little bit, the news came out this morning that Devontae Smith reaches a 3-year, $75 million extension with the Eagles. What did you make of that news? Obviously, a highly touted guy out of college. What do you make of that news from him?
I felt bad for him because I reached the same deal with it's a little bit more than he reached. Mine was a 381. Yeah,
nice.
So I felt bad for him. No, it's great. It talks back to these receivers being able to step in and doing their thing. And Ohio State guys, we've seen in the recent years with Garrett Wilson and Olave and Smith. These guys, you know, it's a pipeline. You got Harrison, and the same thing with LSU. You got Chase. You got Jefferson. You got Thomas and Neighbors coming out this year. So LSU and Ohio State, they are, you know, they're hot and developing top-tier receiver talent. But well deserves on Smith, and it just kind of shows you that, you know, if you do well, you can make it happen. And to think that they got A.J. Brown on the opposite side of him, and now they're going to have Saquon Barkley in the backfield. You just have to think, you know, Jalen Hurts and company should have a very potent offense in 2024.
And A.J. Brown's ready. I saw him Saturday. He was one of the judges in the slam dunk contest Saturday at Ole Miss.
Wow. Oh, nice. Who won it?
A slam dunk contest at a football spring game, Bo.
Who won that?
Brandon Turnage. And he got up. Now they lowered the goal a little bit. It was only about 9 feet. And my cohorts on that I was with Saturday, they both were talking about that they could dunk in high school. And I said, I know this is going to shock y'all. I could not dunk in high school on any size goal.
Yeah, I might be able to dunk on a 5 foot hoop, and even that would be hard.
I'm going to need help.
Yeah. Remember, I said 5 feet.
So, yeah. I still got to land, Bo.
Yeah, I think I think those guys playing for Ole Miss are much more athletic than probably all three of us combined. So
yeah.
I think there's a reason they're out there in the dunk contest. Well, Bo, as always, thanks so much for joining us. And next week when we talk, you will be only a couple days away from the draft.
Hey, much love to you guys. I appreciate it. And, you guys know me. I'm going to be on. This is like Christmas and April. You know, I can't wait. You know, this is my favorite time of the year. And next week is like the birth. It's spring. It's the new life of the NFL.
Yeah.
Get after it, Bo. It'll be fun. You'll be headed to Detroit. We look forward to it. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Bo.
Yes, sir. Stay safe.
Thanks, Bo. Bo Marchioni joins us every week to talk the NFL. And, got a little bit of a change. We were talking about a 2.5 hour show. We were going to have to be pretty quick with Bo, but now we're going all the way till 6 o'clock. Ole Miss and Arkansas State has been delayed. They're in a delay right now. So we're going to go all the way to 6 o'clock, and then hopefully around six or so, we'll get to Ole Miss pregame as they try to get that game in tonight against Arkansas State. But some weather in the area in Jonesboro. It's raining, pouring down rain right now out there. Tarp on the field and everything. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we were all feverishly during that segment,
yes.
Kind of coordinating with the looking at radars and coordinating. And boy, when you brought up that radar in Jonesboro, you knew not a chance for a 6 p.m. starting. Ole Miss already over there, so we'll see if they can get the game in. Yeah. Do you remember in the national championship year for Ole Miss in 2022? It was a little bit later than this. There was a game scheduled in Jonesboro that Ole Miss got out of. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, kind of something, yeah.
There weren't many clouds in the sky that day.
Yes, I do remember that game now.
And Ole Miss, even playing that game late in the year and winning it, they had factored in that what damage it would do to their RPI on Selection Monday, and kind of bowed out of that game. Tonight, they kind of need that one to. They lost Arkansas State in Oxford, didn't they? Earlier?
I think so, maybe.
So
I don't remember.
I think so. They kind of need that win tonight, but that was a big one to kind of get out of that game 2 years ago. A loss would have been devastating, but even a win was going to crush RPI.
Sure. Yeah. No, you're right about that. I do. Now that you're talking more and more about it, I do remember a lot of controversy around that one. So we'll see if they can get it in tonight.
We will. And if they do, whenever they start, we'll have all the action. But I don't think anything before about 7 o'clock. It looks like, does it?
Yeah, no, it looks like it's gonna be raining there for a while. So we'll see. Hopefully, before we're done with the show, maybe we have a tentative time of when they're gonna try to get on there. But certainly not right now.
Bo Marchant, like all our guests, was on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. You can text or call that number at 901-360-8255. Sissy's Log Cabin with that new location at 4542 Poplar. It's open, and they are very proud of it, and they should be. We were there for the soft opening. We were there for the grand opening. We'll be back soon. Bill Jones, his great team, here to stay. Some blow in and out overnight. not sissies, part of the fabric of the community as the official jeweler of the hometown teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, like the Memphis Tigers, and the FedEx Forum Floor Seat Lounge. It is Sissy's Log Cabin to go back there and enjoy that and look at all the jewelry on display back there when we get back to FedEx Forum, and we will sooner than you expect. They have the Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, earrings. I know this time next year they want to be in the playoffs, and so do we. 9,000 square feet in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more. Since 1970, with all the great locations across the Mid-South, they offer a selection of estate jewelry, fine gifts, diamonds, with unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, like I mentioned, no Ole Miss pregame at 5:30. We will have that hopefully later, hopefully before we're done with today's show. We'll have an idea of when that pregame will start, what time they're hoping to get it. But as of right now, that game is in a delay. So we will need to get to a break here. And when we come back, a lot to talk about during what's trending with all of the baseball going on. Obviously, the play-in games later tonight in the NBA with the Western Conference going tonight. So plenty to get to. We'll do all of that next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. We got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending. If you're just now joining us, if you tuned in hoping to hear the sweet voice of David Kellum, and now you're stuck with me, I hate it for you, but that game has been delayed. They're in a delay. It sounds like probably around 6:30 or 7 is what I'm hearing. Hopefully we have a more definite answer before we get off air. But they're trying to let that storm come through that they've got going on in Jonesboro right now and try to get that game in. So if you're looking for the Ole Miss radio, Ole Miss baseball pregame, that will come later. But Brett, plenty to talk about during what's trending. We talked a lot about the play-in games earlier. Dan, I think that's going to kind of be the center of attention in the sports world tonight because of
those. I say good night.
I good night. And I mean, it makes it even better because you have those big teams in the Lakers and the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, Hall of Fame laden teams. And my question, I think I know the answer to, out of the four teams tonight, who do you think in their locker room they're thinking, all right, we catch a wave, we start a
sure.
A conference finals run tonight. Well, it's got to be the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's led by LeBron James, and they didn't come out of this spot last year, but they came from back of the pack last year to get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think it's the Pelicans, and I don't think it's Sacramento, and I don't think seriously, legitimately, Golden State can dream that.
No, I don't think so. But I mean, certainly the Lakers, and we've seen teams do it. We've seen teams come from the play-in tournament and go on long runs and you know, get pretty deep in the playoff, even though it's still relatively new. So I do think that is out there, and I do think there are, you know, teams that have that expectation, especially if you go out and win tonight. I think if you win tonight, you feel good about it. Okay, we're the 7th seed. We play the 2. Now, in the Western Conference tonight, you might not feel as good about it because you have to see the Denver Nuggets. But certainly, I think the Lakers should have that in mind.
I want New Orleans rocking tonight. I want them to get playoff fever and start establishing that route because I think someday that could be the natural great rival for the Grizzlies if the Grizzlies remain in the West.
Sure. Yeah, well.
But if the Grizzlies go east, New Orleans could go east too.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, I mean, maybe. And I think we've been talking about that for really since that draft of – maybe even before, but certainly since the draft of Ja and Zion, it was kind of, oh, you know, look at this. You know, this just feels like a perfect fit for a rivalry, and it really hasn't worked out. But hey, maybe with what they've got going with what the Grizzlies will have next year, maybe that's something that, you know, becomes more of a rivalry type series.
And we've wanted it, and the league, you know, wants both Memphis and New Orleans. They want it to make it in football country, in the South, in the heart of football country. They want both places to make it. And Brian, I wouldn't suggest doing this. This would be a gamble that city leaders and government officials just could not risk.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one reason why you could. If you wanted to stare the Grizzlies down, and they're not going to, they're going to get the money for refurbishing, and most of this is without tax increase. But yeah, there's been tax money involved. But anyway, if you wanted to stare the league down and go, nah, we're not giving you anything.
Mm. Yeah.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
That's a good question.
When you're trying to expand, and those owners want those expansion fees.
Yeah.
They don't want franchise moving.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we've learned emphatically, there's never going to be any retraction.
Mm-mm.
There's never going to be any contraction. I'm sorry. There's never going to be anybody contract. There's never going to be a team dissolved. If the Tampa Bay Rays haven't managed to be dissolved in baseball, it's not going to happen. You look at the case right now, and we just hadn't had time to get to it,
sure,
of the Arizona Coyotes.
I
swear I think I'm writing this. I'm not trying to jab them. I think this is accurate. I think they have been in more bankruptcy issues, different people with bankruptcies, than they have had playoff series wins.
I believe it.
In their franchise history. And they're not being contracted. They're going to Utah.
Yeah, they are.
They're going to Salt Lake City.
And I hate it.
And hockey's going to expand.
Sure.
So you, both New Orleans and Memphis, if anybody just ever really got down on us, you could stand them down with, what are you going to do to us?
Sure.
You're not contracting us.
Right.
And we're not, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. And oh man, yeah, I don't even want to get into the Arizona Coyotes situation because
it's sad
so much. I hate it. It made me so mad when I saw it.
When I went to an Arizona Coyote New York Rangers game.
How about that?
Saw my first hat trick at it.
Wow!
And first fight in the stands. In the same night, they played in an arena right by State Farm Stadium out there at Glendale.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was like booking.com arena.
Love that. That's great.
But it was built for to host them.
Yeah.
They never had any attachment with the area.
Right.
Played the last 2 years at Arizona State.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, they're gone. Mm-hmm. They come back next year as Utah whatevers.
Yeah. So that's, weird story all around.
The whole lineage of that franchise is very star-crossed. Weren't they the Atlanta Thrashers?
They were. Yeah, that's right.
And that didn't work.
Nope,
and that was the second time that hockey didn't work in Atlanta. And I think we're going to try it again, aren't we?
A lot of people want them to try it again. I'm not one of them. I think if it's failed twice, you know.
At some point, don't you have to read your market and think it has spoken?
Brett, you would think so,
I know people are just by the day moving to the Sunshine States, and the population growth of all the South, and particularly of Charlotte and Atlanta and Florida and Huntsville, Alabama, boomtown. It's absolutely boomtown, Nashville. But I don't think they're coming in. And anyone demanding we want hockey in Atlanta.
No, nobody's is running up and down the streets of Atlanta saying, you know what, I don't like the Falcons, I don't like the Braves, I don't like the Hawks. You know what this city needs?
Yeah.
Hockey.
Man, I don't think nobody's saying that.
And Brian, and not just because it's my big love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think Atlanta is?
College town. Or if college
you,
city.
If you filled in, fill in the blank, Atlanta is
You're absolutely right.
College football town.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
And look at everything they host between the College Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next year they're going to host SEC Championship game. They will have the Peach Bowl and then standalone the College Football Playoff National Championship game.
Wow.
Man.
And the guy that spearheads all of it, Gary Stokin, been on all our shows a lot of times with various people through the years, at SEC Media Days and at other events, and a great guy. He's the Pied Piper of we're college football town, and it is. And that's what it is. Chuck Oliver, a very popular talk radio show host in Atlanta, he made the decision several years ago. He does nothing but college football 365. That's it.
Wow.
I mean, a few weeks ago, his show tweeted out, and I thought, well, okay, if you can, you can, but it is the time of year. It tweeted out, we're the only show today that's not talking bubble in brackets.
Wow.
We're talking college football. Wow. Because it can.
Sure. Absolutely. And so I think you're right. But certainly, certainly do not need hockey in Atlanta. I am completely
against that. There are places that love it. My friends in St. Louis love it. I think, you know, Nashville speaks for itself.
Absolutely.
I think it is love there. When is the hockey season in? When do we do picks?
It's coming up.
I kind of should know this,
shouldn't
I?
I think Monday we'll probably do picks, or ish. I think, you know, next week, later.
They don't fire up Saturday, Sunday?
Oh, I don't think so, because they still have games going up until Thursday.
Is this the first time we've talked hockey since we did hockey picks?
Brett, I think so.
Back on opening day, Johnny?
I think so.
Hey, man, I think it is.
Last day of the year is Thursday.
NHL playoffs start. Wow, quick turnaround. They start on April 20th, so Friday we'll have to do hockey picks.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I got my hockey hat on.
That is great.
Hey, Brett, goaltender's mask on, Johnny.
Hey,
you
Brett,
see it right now? I got it on right now.
Yeah, I see. Hey, man, I got to go find me one, man.
I think I could take a puck off this mug?
I wouldn't suggest it.
Be careful saying puck and mug late in the day, too.
You can get a little
A lot of other things
that.
Can
yes.
come flying.
A lot of certainly. Other things can be said.
Certainly got to be careful with that.
Watch the old puck and mug at 5:43.
Yeah.
Proof we're having live radio, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. Proof that we were not prepared for this. No, I'm kidding.
John Varlis texts me, what time will the hockey picks be? Come on, John.
We want your hockey.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, we want his hockey.
We appreciate this for John. I think you kind of patted us on the head, but thank you, John.
I think so. But no, I'm shocked though that we've got hockey on playoff hockey on Saturday. I'm telling you. Look, and this is
will your Kraken make it?
They will not. And that's one reason I wore my
I'm sorry, I didn't know. I wasn't digging.
No,
I wasn't digging.
It's okay. I've already gotten past it, Brett. I'm already over it.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Brett, it's okay, Brett.
We're trying to work through it. I got you.
That point in my life was 3 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So
they were eliminated that long ago?
It's not been a good season.
I'm sorry, Brian.
It's okay. You know,
we should have been here for
a lot of young players, so that's why I'm wearing my
Brett,
my
do you
hockey
got the
sweater
tissue?
Today. Because I know next week I can wear my Toronto sweater a lot.
I didn't read the rest of John's text. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
What time will hockey picks be? I want to make sure I'm listening to music instead.
Well then, John, we don't want your hockey picks.
Yeah, we don't need them.
We don't
need them.
We don't need that negativity.
Now, hold on now. We can't run off listeners. Sorry, John.
I know. I love John. But yes. I forgot where I was going. Oh,
you were the elimination of the crowd.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Is my, and I'll do it again when we make hockey picks. And, John, I hope you're still listening. If you do not watch hockey, playoff hockey, entirely different animal. I mean, watch it once.
I do agree.
You will not turn away.
I mean, it's great.
Brett, what you say?
I hear that, and then I try to watch, and it looks the same.
It looks the same.
I mean, it's the same old hairy animal.
Well, I mean, you got to playoff hockey, different animal. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I went to hockey playoffs a few years ago in St. Louis and froze to death.
Well, it is
man,
cold.
I hear it's freezing.
Wore shorts to playoff hockey in May and froze to death. My teeth were chattering.
Bad idea. Well, hey, I mean, there is ice out there. They're playing on ice. I mean, what do you expect?
I was never so glad to leave the building.
Hey, Brett, I can't do that cold. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I can't do the cold.
I told Johnny earlier, from October 1 on, I pack long johns and a overcoat.
I know that's right. We need to get to a break, and when we come back, we're having today's show with Taco Bell Crunch Time.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch.
We're just getting started, so...
Crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye. Hello,
it's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
The double steak grilled cheese burrito. So good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla. With even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The double steak grilled cheese burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, I've learned a couple of things today. The first being that Ole Miss baseball game has been delayed today. It looks like pregame planning for 7 o'clock. So if you're wanting to listen to that, we'll have pregame and complete coverage of that game starting at 7 o'clock. But the other thing I learned today, it sounds like the USA basketball team for the Paris Olympics has been set. It was announced last night. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Ant Edwards, and Tyrese Halliburton would make up the first 11 spots. They were going to leave one spot open. But now, earlier this afternoon, it was announced that Kawhi Leonard will fill that 12th spot. So I like Team USA's chances in Paris.
Howard, could you win with that team? Could you go to Paris and win the gold medal with you as head coach?
Absolutely. 100%.
I don't think there's any doubt.
No, no doubt at all.
I think there's 100,000 people
so.
That could.
I agree.
So if Steve Kerr doesn't, what do we say and do?
I think a lot of people are frustrated. I think we have a lot of questions for them.
We sure do. Yep. But I don't think there's any chance.
No, I don't think we got to worry about that.
I mean, that is the dreamiest of dream teams, isn't it?
Yo,
that may top original.
We had that conversation
really
today with me and John Harden.
Good stuff.
And we kind of think
I'm
maybe.
Stealing from y'all.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, in radio, just borrowing from friends.
Right. That's right.
What I learned today was the passing of the great Whitey Herzog brought back a lot of fond memories for so many people. Rivalries with the Mets and the Giants and trips to St. Louis with friends and NLCS and go crazy folks. And in that time in the 80s, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon at the top of their game and World Series wins, the White Rat, he personified Cardinals baseball. The 80s were so much fun. You just knew at 92 and so frail on opening day that we could be seeing him for the last time, and sadly we did.
Yeah, absolutely. Super sad to see earlier this morning. Well, what I could have done without the transfer portal is now back open for college football players, and already from my count, three Tigers have entered the portal. Earlier this morning, last year's starting cornerback, Diego Brumfield, entered the transfer portal. He led the Tigers in pass breakups a year ago. He has 1 year of eligibility left. I believe this spring's been competitive, and he knew he wasn't going to have the starting job. We talked about it earlier. Jay Ducker was kind of getting lost in that running back group. And then Maurice Hampton, local guy that played at MUS.
Started at LSU.
Started
his college career at LSU.
LSU playing both football and basketball baseball for them. He was here last year, and it looks like he will enter the transfer portal. So already three names. I'm sure that list will grow. It will grow for everybody around the country.
That's
just how this transfer portal ends up.
Brace yourself, everybody. You're going to lose somebody you wanted to keep. You're going to get somebody you probably weren't expecting. It all comes around. It goes around. I could have done without this. Whether Rory McIlroy goes to live or even the rumor of Scottie Scheffler after his wife has their baby, or if Tiger Woods goes and everything gets well all of a sudden, or if Jack Nicklaus goes and he becomes 40 again, or if Ludwig Oberg goes,
there you go.
I'm still not going to watch. It's meaningless golf. 54 holes of goofy.
It sure is that. You even hear current guys saying, I wish they would go to 72 holes. I wish we would get away from this, 50-whatever they're playing. Where are you beaming tonight?
New Orleans basketball and Galatoire. Give me the French Quarter and a vibe the Pelicans could really cash in on if they ever have playoff success. They've never been to the Western Conference Finals, and they've had very little postseason success.
Yeah, it's been rough, but hey, maybe something can change tonight. Those will be two really fun games. Beam me to that second game, Sacramento and Golden State. I mentioned it earlier that season series is tied 2-2 right now, but three of the four games have come down to 1 point, so that should be a thriller.
And if they do play baseball in Jonesboro, Mike Bianco going for win number 1,000 as a college coach. It would be win number 900 at Ole Miss.
Incredible.
That's a record that will never be broken.
That is just incredible stuff. Well, that's all the time we have today. Enjoy your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.